Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for our sermon this morning is the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 66, especially verses 10 and 13. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Here ends the text. Dear friends in Christ, the city of Jerusalem is one of the most famous cities in the world. The city's fame arises from its significance in the history of religion, as well as from the role which it plays in world politics. In spite of the troubles in the Middle East today, Jerusalem still attracts many tourists, and one might well expect a tourist brochure to say, "You'll like it in Jerusalem." I've been there 4 times, and I can certainly say that I've liked it in Jerusalem. Try it. You'll like it as well. The prophet Isaiah was certainly familiar with the ancient city of Jerusalem, and in his writings, he makes numerous references to the city. And in some places in his prophetic work, he used the name Jerusalem to refer to more than just a geographic location of his day. The prophet employed the name Jerusalem to refer to the Lord's church, such as is done in several places in the book of Revelation. Such a symbolic use of the name Jerusalem occurs in the Old Testament reading for today. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all you who love her. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Thus, we're ready to join those who write the tourist guides and say, "You'll like it in Jerusalem." You'll like it because the spiritual Jerusalem, of which the text speaks, furnishes her citizens, ourselves, with nourishment, peace, comfort, and joy. In verse 11 of the Old Testament reading, the prophet used the example of an infant nursing at its mother's breast to illustrate that Jerusalem, the Lord's church, provides spiritual sustenance, nourishment for her members. We read, "That you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance." Sometimes people view Christian churches as places where demands are constantly met, where people are constantly asked to give. But we freely give because our Lord has abundantly given to his church his word and sacraments, whereby he nourishes and sustains the life of his people, ourselves. As we receive these generous gifts from his church, we're supplied with the necessities which keep Christian faith alive and allow it to grow and to serve. We're like nursing infants who are brought to receive life-giving milk. Scripture speaks about spiritual feeding in a number of places. To the Apostle Peter, for example, Jesus said repeatedly, "Feed my sheep." Then, when speaking to the crowds who had gathered around him, Jesus included the warning, "Do not work for the food that spoils, but the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." The word of our Lord feeds and is dispensed by Jerusalem, his church. You'll like it in Jerusalem, for there you will be fed. Then verse 12 of our Old Testament reading speaks of Jerusalem as a place of peace. For this is what the Lord says, "I will extend peace to her like a river." The name Jerusalem is commonly translated as City of Peace. Yet, throughout much of its history, the actual city of Jerusalem hasn't exactly been a place of peace. That part of the globe is one of the world's most desired and one of the world's most disputed locations. But the Jerusalem of which Isaiah speaks, God's church, through the promised Messiah, has a message of peace to proclaim. That peace is the peace which comes from the promise of forgiveness of sins earned by that Messiah upon the cross and guaranteed to us in his glorious resurrection from the dead and his triumphant ascension into heaven. Still, many people long for peace in their lives, and some will go to great lengths to try to get it. In the 1950s, the Hayden Planetarium in New York jokingly advertised that it would take reservations for a future trip to the moon. Within a short time, there were over 24,000 applications. A psychologist who studied some of those letters of the applicants concluded that most of them wanted to escape from problems and responsibilities here on Earth. One woman wrote, "It would be heaven to get away from this busy Earth and to go to some place that's nice and peaceful, good, safe, and secure." And in our time of intense social and political divisions, many more people may share her desire. I'm not sure how safe and secure the moon is, considering that there's no food, water, or oxygen there, but it probably would be peaceful for a while. However, Isaiah reminds us that we don't need to go to the moon to find peace. We can have peace right now from the Lord through his church. This peace from the Lord is pictured as coming like a river. God says through Isaiah, "I will extend to her peace like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream." The peace of God in Christ is overwhelming, and like a mighty river, never ceases to flow. Peace is a frequently used word in both the Old and New Testaments. We see examples in the greetings which St. Paul writes in his letters, such as the letter to Titus. "Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior." Also, notice what Jesus says in John 14. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The psalmist too used the word when he praised the Lord, saying, "Great peace have those who love your law." And notice that it was peace which was to be announced by the 72 when they were sent out by Jesus in the gospel reading for today. "Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him." Duke University once did a study on peace of mind. Factors found to contribute greatly to emotional and mental peace were, first, the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. A second factor in peace of mind was not to be dwelling on the past and on past mistakes. Thirdly, peace could be found by not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you can't change. Work with life instead of trying to run away from it. They also found that peace of mind comes from forcing yourself to stay involved with the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during times of emotional stress. Also, they said, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. Then, cultivate the old-fashioned virtues such as love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. Next, don't expect too much of yourself. When there's too wide a gap between self-expectations and your ability to meet those goals you set, feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. Then, finally, they said, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people scored lowest in any test measuring happiness. And what's bigger than ourselves to believe in than the God who made ourselves and made the whole universe? It's only through the triune God that we'll find true peace. Moreover, verses 12 and 13 of our text speak about comfort. We read, You shall nurse and be carried on her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. We need comfort, because the peace which comes from the assurance that we have the forgiveness of sins doesn't remove us from the trials and heartaches of the sinful world in which we live. Sickness, disaster, death, and other troubles surround God's people, strike them, and cause them sorrow and suffering. For situations of that kind, we seek lasting comfort. The God of all comfort reminds us in our text that he won't be absent in such times of need. Like a mother who carries a child in her arms, so the Lord will affectionately console and tend to the needs of his children. The Lord is at hand to give us his comfort and consolation from cradle to the grave and beyond the grave. He never abandons us, as he declares in Isaiah 46, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you." Furthermore, the word used for comfort in the text is the same word the psalmist used in Psalm 23 when he wrote, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In daily life, with this periodic pain and discouragement, the Lord's faithful people seek his comfort. You'll like it in Jerusalem, for there you will find healing comfort for your soul. Because of the assurances which Isaiah delivers to the people of God, the text closes as it began, in a spirit of joy and rejoicing. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. Very frequently, the word rejoice is used in both Testaments. We find it in the Gospel reading for today, as Jesus says, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Those who have the word of the Lord open to them in Holy Scripture are like the Ethiopian of Acts chapter 8, who, after he had heard the good news of Jesus brought to him through the prophet Isaiah, went on his way rejoicing. Our Old Testament reading comes from the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. The prophet's message was always two-pronged. He spoke about both the Lord's joyous salvation and his stern judgment, his gospel and his law. Judgment isn't missing in the Old Testament reading for today, as the prophet makes it clear that the Lord shall show his indignation against his enemies. Such judgment is always sobering and is also found in the gospel reading for today when Jesus says, "But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." However, we, the faithful and forgiven of the Lord, need never fear his fury, for we have been freed from it in Christ Jesus. All of the wrath of God that we deserve because of our sins was poured out upon Jesus as he was hanging on the cross outside the walls of the literal city of Jerusalem. Because of that sacrifice, the figurative city of Jerusalem, the holy Christian church, can provide peace like a river. And that peaceful existence will be perfected in our heavenly home. Again, a gift of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. You'll like it in Jerusalem, for in this eternal city of God, the Holy Christian Church, you will find everlasting peace. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.